In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In this morning's Gospel, Jesus talks to his audience and to us about two things: judgment and hope. The Gospel begins with a rather puzzling set of statements. There have been two disasters recently in Jerusalem. The Roman governor has massacred a group of pilgrims, and there's been an accident with the collapse of a water tower, killing a number of people. What Jesus says is, don't go around imagining that God acts in this sort of way to punish sinners. It's not that the victims of the massacre and the accident are so much more wicked than everybody else that God stepped in to do something exceptionally nasty to them. God doesn't work like that. And it's always worth remembering, when some people come up with such nonsense, that when we confront natural disasters and terrible events in the world, somehow the victims are to blame, God is punishing them. There's at least one stupid Christian in the United States who said that about Haiti. I know he's sorry. God does not act like that. The world is a world where unspeakable things happen. Terrible accidents, appalling cruelties. We're not to suppose that God is the kind of God who steps in to make things worse so that every disaster is somebody's punishment. But, said Jesus, unless you repent, you will perish. It's in your hands. If you don't turn your life around, your end will be disaster, just like those victims of massacre and accident. If you don't turn your life around, then that life is going to be wasted. You will destroy yourself. You will make yourself incapable of love, incapable of relationship. You will be every bit as dead as those poor people who died of massacre and the accident. And that's the judgment bit. It's hard to hear. We don't particularly like, for any reason, being told that unless we turn our lives around, we shall waste them. But that is what Jesus says. If your life is turned inwards on your own concern, if your life is turned away from love or from relationship, that life will be wasted and wrecked, ruined as decisively as the Tower of Siloam standing in a heap of rubble over the corpses of those who died in the accident. Strong stuff. But then Jesus goes on straight away to say something importantly different, that fills out what he means in a way that gives us hope. If we were only faced with that statement, unless you turn your life around, your life will be wasted, faced with that, we might very well get a bit panicky. But Jesus goes on to tell one of his very quirky and perceptive little stories. Imagine a fig tree that's not producing. The owner of the land wants to chop it down. The gardener says, be patient. Maybe the conditions aren't right. Let me dig a couple of extra trenches. Let me put some more fertilizer on it. Let's see what happens. The fig tree can be turned around. It can change when the conditions change. So, when God invites us to turn our lives around, he's willing to provide the conditions we need for our lives to change. He he's willing to dig the trenches, do the irrigation, put on the fertilizer, do the extra work. He doesn't just sit back and say, go on, change, fold his arms and wait. That's never very much use in any circumstances. What he does is to say, you need to change, and I will do everything that is possible to help you change. I will create the conditions in which your life might turn out differently. I'll surround you with the signs and the means of love, and then let's see what happens. Then perhaps the fruit will start to grow on what otherwise looks like a rather barren tree. So, God doesn't just say to me and to you, start loving now or you're in trouble. God gives signs of love around us that begin to stir and melt and move our hearts. He shows us the tokens of who he is, what he wants to do, so that change isn't something we struggle desperately to do to satisfy a distant, irritable, over-demanding God. God invites us to change. He makes it possible for us to change. In the jargon of theology, I used to teach this stuff, so you must forgive me if I use it once in a while. The jargon of theology, grace comes before good works. God's grace, God's love is poured out in advance, flooding our lives so that change and growth become possible. So in the whole life of Jesus, and in the witness of his death and resurrection, what's going on is that God is digging the trenches and pouring on the water and making growth possible. In the life of Jesus, moment by moment, God is telling us, I am here to help you change. You want your life to be different. You want your life not to be wasted. Here is a hand you can grab onto to be lifted out, turn you around. And that, on every page of the Gospels, that is the message and the reality of Jesus. Here is God, at hand, reaching out his hand to us, so that we may take it, and by the love shown to us, find love in our own lives, and find our lives renewed, and not wasted, and the fruit begins to come on branches. Fruit, of course, not just for ourselves, but for others. Lives that nourish other people. Lives that can in turn become signs of love. Means for other people to change. Again and again, when we want people to change, what often makes the difference is being able to point to a life that shows that something else is possible. It doesn't have to be like this. People can live in fellowship, in generosity, depending on each other, not protecting themselves. It's possible. It could be real. The conditions are given for life to change. So when God shows us his love in Jesus, and our love begins to be kindled, then we begin to give, to grow to the same love. We bear fruit. So God gives us the reality of Jesus, to start that whole process of life. And God gives us one another to help us change. Each one of us is planted in an environment where signs and love are present. And we're called together into the fellowship of the church so that we may be part of that story. So that each one of us may be the cause of other people growing into life and into freedom. What's given to us, the promise and the hope and the love planted in our hearts by the love of God Jesus, what's given to us is given so that we can make other people grow, so that we can make a difference. Church, community of God's presence, is the community which each one of us grows and flourishes, not for our own sake, but for the sake of the person next to us, and the person next to them, and goodness knows how many other people we may never meet. Because it's a sort of domino effect. Once love and change begin, and my neighbour begins to grow, then the whole process spreads about us. And that, of course, is the great thing about the relation between the church and the society in which it lives. We start pushing over the dominoes. We start the process of bringing other people to life, because we can be brought to life by the love of God. And there are no walls around that process. It doesn't suddenly stop on that side of the door of the Anglican Church. It goes on making a difference, helping to make a world in which everyone has around them the conditions that help them turn their lives around, help them live in hope, not despair, help them know that they are loved and accompanied. Church is here. Keep on nudging that process forward. Each one of us trying to bring to life the people around us by sharing the love of God. All of us together, seeking and hoping to bring the whole of our society alive in that way. Changing it so that people know they are abandoned, know that they are unloved. There's judgment, indeed. We can't turn our lives around in that way. Well, we face judgment quite simply because we've said no to the love that will be our life. Our lives are at risk of being wasted and ruined. But God keeps on. He persists giving us the conditions for change, persists in giving us the love we need. I wonder if after the end of another year of the fig tree not bearing fruit, the divine donor might say, "All right, I see the point. I'll give it another year. Dig another trench, put some more fertilizer on, we'll keep at it." And that is, of course, the good news, that Jesus' death and resurrection continually reminds us of it. We believe in a God who doesn't give up on us, who goes on providing the conditions for us to change, who goes on turning over the soil in which we may grow into love and fellowship. That God who never gives up, that's the God celebrated in the wonderful reading we heard from Isaiah, the first lesson this morning. The God cries out to the whole world, "Here is free food and drink. It's all yours. All you need to be nourished, to change, to grow to life. It's all here. Come without charge. It's yours." It's the God who, in the same passage, speaks about how the word of God and the mercy of God are like rain pouring down from heaven, soaking in. Doesn't go back very painful. It keeps on soaking in. It keeps on coming down. So finally, when we come to Holy Communion, as we do together this morning, when we take the food and the drink that are laid on that table for our nourishment, bread and wine of Holy Communion, that is an effective sign of the sacrament. Everything we need to be about. Here at this table, God says, "Free food and drink. All you need to grow and to live is here." God is saying, "Here at this table, I give you the conditions you need to grow into life, to make a difference in your own life, the life of your neighbor, the life of the world." Here at this table, dominoes start being pushed over. Here the process starts, where the grace of God can make a difference to the entire world and shift it away from selfishness, from wasted, desperate, trapped lives, into a world of sharing, a world of eating and drinking together around one table, a world of fellowship and of peace, a world where each person lives so as to give food, body and spirit, into the hands of others. That's the story we celebrate whenever we come to church, especially when we come to Good Evening. The story of the God who doesn't give up, who provides our nourishment free, who is ready to help us change as soon as we show the least sign of wanting. The God who doesn't sit back and leave it to us, but gives us all the conditions, all the provisions we need for growth. To that God be the glory. Great things he's done. Great things he is doing this morning. Great things he will do, church and in the world. We are ready to be fed, ready to be changed, ready to bear fruit, to feed each other and love one another.